Welcome, everyone, to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley, a national news and talk program dedicated to military veterans issues. And now, your hosts, David Corey and Richard Hurley.
Good evening. Welcome to the Veterans News Hour for March the 23rd, 2020. This is Air Force veteran David Corey, along with my co-host, Richard Hurley. Thank you for joining us this evening. Hello, Richard.
Hey there, David, and hello to everybody out there. Hope everybody's doing well under the circumstances of this coronavirus. Tonight we have two special guests from the Texas Veterans Commission in our first segment today, and then we'll move more into some news and information for you veterans and your families. So stay tuned for a fun-filled hour. First, I'll remind everyone that this is a call-in show that welcomes your views, your comments, and questions. So please call us anytime during the show at 1-888-627-6008. Again, that number is 1-888-627-6008. The Veteran News Hour is your show. We're just the messengers. So call in and share with whatever experiences that are going on with you dealing with the VA. Again, that number is 1-888-627-6008. Back to you, David.
Thank you, Richard. Yes, we have two special guests from the Texas Veterans Commission. The Texas Veterans Commission is the state agency in Texas which provides many services to our military veterans. Julia Connor is a multimedia specialist with the communications and outreach section of the Texas Veterans Commission. Her main focus is on producing the Voice of Texas Veterans radio show. She previously worked for Town Square Media as a radio morning show personality. Julia also worked for the Army Public Affairs Office on Fort Hood from September 2009 to September 2012. She was the manager of the Fort Hood radio station and also produced video pieces for the weekly Fort Hood television program. Julia has also served as the news director and co-owner of several radio stations in Texas. She also anchored the evening news at KTPX-TV in Texas, and she was the Killeen Bureau Chief for KXXV-TV in Waco, Texas. Julia graduated from American Technological University with a bachelor's degree in communications technology. Also with us this evening is Michael Malone, who is a policy and program specialist at the Texas Veterans Commission's headquarters in Austin. Mike is a veteran of the United States Navy with service on multiple ships with numerous deployments throughout the Pacific, the Mediterranean, and the Baltic Sea. After his active duty military service, he also worked as a glazer journeyman and foreman, as well as a certified welder, performing welding on Cougar Mine-Resistant Ambush Protected, or MRAP, vehicles at Bagram, Afghanistan from October 2010 until October 2011 for Forest Protection Industries. Mike Malone was hired by the Texas Veterans Commission in February 2012. After multiple assignments with the TVC, he is currently the TVC Policy and Program Specialist working at the Austin headquarters. So let's welcome Julia Connor and Mike Malone to the Veterans News Hour. Thank you both for being on our show. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Great under the circumstances.
Yes, I know this coronavirus is really, it's amazing what it's done in such a short period of time to our country. Now, we have lots to discuss in the next 20 minutes, so let's jump right into what's going on with the Texas Veterans Commission and perhaps how the coronavirus is affecting your services.
Okay, before we get to all of our services, let me tell you what's happening there in that respect. Because of, I'm sure you know, many communities are urging people to shelter in place, to not go out and not visit with folks, and to try and stay home if you can. Basically, that's what Texas Veterans Commission is doing. We have cut back on our face-to-face meetings with our veterans. In fact, we're not doing any at all. What we're doing is we're serving them virtually or remotely, and we have information on our website that will help them get to where they need to be so that they can talk to a Texas Veterans Commission personnel. But of course, you know, many of our veterans are older veterans, and some of our veterans, they have, you know, underlying health concerns. We don't want to endanger them, and so that is why we are doing this. We've cut back on our benefits and benefit fairs and seminars and things like that in order to protect our veterans, but we still want to serve them. So on our website, tvc.texas.gov. They can get information about how they can get in touch with someone to talk about their circumstance. And, of course, Mike Malone with our claims department, which is our busiest service that we offer, he will get more into that about how veterans can get in touch. But let me tell you about some of the programs that we have for our veterans. Now, we're the state agency that was created to help veterans. We've got around 1.7 million veterans in the state of Texas. We're just behind California, but we're ahead of Florida. That's a total of 1.7 million veterans. And so the agency was created way back in 1927 in order to take care of our veterans. We've been doing it ever since. We help veterans for free. We want to stress that. Some veterans go out and pay and get their claims done, things like that. You don't need to do that. With Texas Veterans Commission, we can help you. Claims Department, number one. Mike is going to explain all that to you a little bit later. But we are VA certified so that we know what we're doing. We know what the VA is looking for when it comes to filing claims. We know what kind of information you need to have. And so that's why our claims department is, you know, rated so high as far as the VA is concerned. We've got education services. Now, what that does is we actually certify schools to use the GI Bill. We got to make sure that the school where you're using your education benefits is, you know, legitimate and is going to give you a diploma and is going to make you eligible to get a job because of the training you got. So our education department certifies that. We're talking about schools and degree and certificate programs, flight training, on-the-job training, apprenticeship programs. We make sure that those schools are qualified to teach vets. And we've got something special in the state of Texas when it comes to education. It's called the Hazelwood Tuition Exemption Act. Have y'all heard about that?
No, I have not.
Yeah, that is, if you are a Texas native who joined the military in the state of Texas, you have to be one of those. You have to have listed Texas as your home of record when you signed up to be in the military. The Hazelwood Act, it provides 150 hours of tuition-free education for qualified veterans. And in some instances, it can go to their children. That's the Hazelwood Legacy Act. We have people who can explain all about what you need to do to be qualified. But the main thing is you enlisted while in the state of Texas, or your home of record when you enlisted in the military was listed as Texas. So we've got people who can explain that to you. We've got our employment services. We work with the federal government and our state agencies as far as those go. We help veterans who have significant barriers to employment. And that can include a number of things, a disabled veteran, younger veterans, older veterans. Anyway, you have to go through our Work in Texas Workforce Commission in order to get triaged so they can ask you a bunch of questions and make sure you are qualified for our services. But we can help you get a job. We can help you get prepared to go for an interview. We can help you with your resume. We can help you. Once again, on-the-job training is involved here. We've got voc rehab, so that you can get some specialized training in order to get a job. Another one of our services. Oh, and this one. People really like this one, the Veteran Entrepreneur Program. Yes, we help veterans start a business, or we help them grow a business. We can help them write a business plan, and we connect them with financial opportunities. We don't want them to get, you know, ripped off or anything like that. So there are a number of ways that veterans can get financing for their business that is not going to put them in debt even before they get started. So our Veteran Entrepreneur Program can help them with that. Also, this is really interesting, the Fund for Veterans Assistance. We give away money. Do you believe we give away millions of dollars in grants to organizations that help veterans? Yeah, and it's not taxpayer money either. Guess where it comes from?
Donations?
Come on. Yeah, yes, donations. And the Texas Lottery.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Yeah, this has been around since like 2010. And over $123 million has come from the Texas Lottery and donations to give away to veteran-serving organizations. We don't give the money directly to veterans. We give it to organizations that serve veterans. You know, organizations like your nonprofits. They have to be a nonprofit or a local government agency. As long as they serve veterans, we have it in several different categories. General assistance, where they might be helping veterans with rent or food or child care, something like that. Also, Housing Protective Heroes. They help it so that veterans don't become homeless. They do a lot of remodeling. They can help veterans with, you know, rent payments at some time or another. We have Veterans Mental Health Grant that can involve, they have all kinds of different alternative therapies to help with mental health, you know, like equine therapy, music, things like that. And also the Veterans Treatment Courts. Those are courts where if a veteran gets involved in, he's involved in any way with the Justice Department, he can go to Veterans Treatment Court instead of being thrown into the system. And in Veterans Treatment Court, they learn to, they learn why they did what they did, why they broke the law. And it has to do with a mental health issue. A lot of time it's substance abuse. But it's not like a get-out-of-jail-free card. No, you have to spend like 18 to 24 months in this program, learning why you did what you did and adapting your behavior so you can become a productive member of society. And we also have our healthcare advocacy program. That's where we help veterans who might have issues with VA healthcare. We stand by the veteran, help them understand what is going on, and also talk to the VA about what the veteran is experiencing. And our Veterans Mental Health Department, we've got a military veteran peer network where we actually train peer coordinators to help out veterans. It's much better if you're talking to a veteran about the problem that you're experiencing because, you know, they understand what you've gone through. So we train peers, and we're trying to make it so that every veteran in the state of Texas has access to mental health services. Texas is a pretty big state. We've got like 200-and-something counties. So we got to make sure that our veterans get the help that they need. And our Women Veterans Program. Did I tell you we have about 200,000 women veterans in the state of Texas?
Wow.
Wow. We're number one, once again. So we have a women veterans program because sometimes women want to talk to each other about their service. And we want to make sure that they know that they have benefits. A lot of them don't identify as veterans. In fact, there are young veterans who don't even know that they're veterans. Because, you know, you think of a veteran, you think of the parade and the older guys from, the Vietnam War and those. But if you served in the military, then you're a veteran and you may be entitled to benefits, and that's what Texas Veterans Commission is all about, helping you discover those benefits. And, of course, communications and outreach, which is me and four other people, where we try to get the word out to the Texas community that Texas Veterans Commission does exist. We are here, and we have services for free that will benefit you. Woo, that was a lot.
Wow, Julia, thank you so much for sharing all those. And I have to tell you, I'm a veteran, but I'm also in my role kind of a student of how the different states provide services at the state agency. And Texas is the most impressive that I've seen so far with all your programs and your radio show and just everything. And it's something Texas should be really proud about. And I really like the lottery idea. You know, Florida has a lottery. I haven't heard that Florida shares any of its lotteries with veteran programs, but that's something that ought to be shared and copied. So thank you much. Now, I understand, Mike, you're an expert on the claims programs. What can you share with us about that?
Well, I don't necessarily consider myself an expert. I'm well-versed. We'll leave it that way because your claims is one of those things where you always learn every day. There's always something new because the 38 Code of Federal Regulations is our guidance that we always use. Julia, thank you for everything that you discussed. One of the things that I can say about claims is that when you talk to the VA, one of the things that they always tell us is that they call it the Texas model when they talk about claims because Texas is one of the things that leads the nation with respect to claims. Where I believe the last I had heard anything was Texas is number three in the nation behind, I believe it's DAV and VFW as far as claims. And both DAV and VFW are national organizations, and TBC is a state-run organization. So that says a lot about us as an organization. One of the things that I wanted to touch base on is that the VA closed all their regional offices on March 19th, and that's across throughout the nation, and that was due to the COVID-19 or coronavirus. So that's directly impacted all veterans throughout the nation. And I know that that's a big concern with veterans who have claims pending. They're wanting to know the statuses of their claims or their appeals and so on and so forth. The thing about appeals that veterans should be aware of is that their appeals haven't been forgotten. They haven't been misplaced. They will still be seen. The appeals boards have just been postponed for the duration while this coronavirus or COVID-19 is going through its course. The VA is still going to see those cases. They've just been postponed temporarily while this is in its duration. The VA, they've given a couple different resources for veterans to find out statuses of claims through their own resources, which are their typical means of communication, and that's the 1-800-827-1000 phone number. They've also given a resource on their website, which is www.va.gov. And then there's another one that people can go to. It's IRIS, I-R-I-S, dot CUST help. It's C-U-S-T-H-E-L-P dot V-A dot gov. Okay, those are two sites that people can go to on the VA to look up information and get assistance directly from the VA. Now, in response to the coronavirus, as far as TVC, we went to working virtually or remote, the same as the VA did with respect to dealing with claims. And it's for the safety of our customers and veterans, their families, as well as for the safety of our own personnel. And that's in response to the coronavirus or COVID-19 as well. So what we've done is our employees are working remotely throughout this process, and we still can file claims. And there's several methods that a veteran can go about submitting a claim. First of all, they can file through e-benefits. That's still a possibility for a veteran. Second of all, if we have power of attorney for a veteran and they've actually filed a claim before, as a power of attorney or representative for a veteran, we can submit a claim as their designated representative. So if it's just a, let's say a veteran's wanting to file for an increase, as a designated representative, we can submit that claim on behalf of the veteran. And that's just if they're already in our system, all they would have to do is contact one of our representatives, and we can do that in our customer database that we have, which I don't need to go into the specifics of the database that we use, but we have a client database that we would just go ahead and fill out the VA forms for submittal to the VA and do a direct upload. If they want to communicate with us, there are several methods that they can contact one of the counselors, even though that we're in a remote status. They can go to the tvc.texas.gov website, and once that they're there, there's a staff directory link as soon as they get to that main page. And if they click that hyperlink, it'll take them to our staff directory, and that will actually get them in contact with anyone, whether it's in claims, whether it's HCAP or grants or any one of our programs. But they can find someone in claims, and they can either send an email or there's phone numbers there to contact one of our representatives.
Well, that's, they can also send, awesome. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
They can also send an email at info@tvc.texas.gov. And there's a phone number for our headquarters, which is 512-463-6564. But the preferred method is email.
And Mike, what's that email again for our listeners in Texas?
Just info@tvc.texas.gov.
Okay, great. Well, it sounds like you have... go ahead.
This is Richard Hurley. How you doing?
Sure. What's up, Richard?
I just wanted to run a couple things by you because I was listening to you. With regard to Board of Veteran Appeals hearings, I had six scheduled for out of the state of Florida in April. Mm-hmm. And after about, I have Oklahoma, San Diego, Newark, New Jersey, Louisville, et cetera. And it took me about 3 weeks, and it wasn't until like 2 days ago that I got confirmation that those hearings would be postponed and until at least May 1st. And after May 1st, the BVA will then put them back on the list and reschedule them. In fact, I have one already rescheduled for May the 5th. But I also have three in Florida, and most of the hearings, if not all the hearings I'm doing in Florida now, I'm doing at my office through my own computer system. And, you know, my clients just come to my office and they go, you know, the judge is in D.C. and it's been working out great. So those three cases are going to continue. That's on April 23rd.
Right.
Because the veterans are in Florida and they can come to my office and we can do the, we can Skype it basically from
right.
my office. So that's what I understand is the basically the current state of the BVA in terms of hearings.
Right. And a lot of those, what I've been hearing is some of them have been postponed. And it's literally case by case is what I've been hearing, is that some of them may be postponed and the Dro hearings may be postponed. And that's why I say in the fact of don't be under, you know, there's a lot of miscommunication and misinterpretation with the COVID-19 and with the coronavirus that people are hearing that their appeal hearings are going to be canceled. None of the hearings are going to be canceled because of this. They may be postponed.
Right.
Don't be in fear that just because this pandemic has occurred that your appellate hearings won't be adjudicated properly. They will still be adjudicated properly. If there's a Dro hearing, it will still occur. It may be delayed, but it will still occur.
Right.
Very good. Well, thank you for that information. And Julia, before we go, because I know your time is limited, could you remind our listeners where they can find out more about all the great programs you described for us?
All you have to do is go to our website, tvc.texas.gov. You can just Google Texas Veterans Commission. And we have videos on each page for our program, so you can give it a little bit of understanding there. And there's contact information. And you can also go to our Facebook page, Texas Veterans Commission Facebook page. Just send us a message, ask a question, and we will get the answer for you.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you, Julia Connor and Mike Malone of the Texas Veterans Commission for being on our show. And thank you both for all you do for our veterans. And we hope our listeners nationwide will take the opportunity to learn more about what Texas is doing and perhaps copy their programs in their state. So anytime you'd like to be back on our show, you have our open invitation. So thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks for being on our show.
Thank you. Sure. Have a great evening.
You too.
Thank you.
At this time, I wish to also remind our listeners that you can call in at 1-888-627-6008. Maybe there was something you heard there from Julia and Mike that piqued your interest and you want to call in and talk about it. So please give us a call at 1-888-627-6008. Or maybe you have a situation involving your own issues regarding coronavirus and how it's distracting you and impeding maybe your situation with the VA. So give us a call. In the meantime, back to you, David, with some more news.
Well, thank you. Yeah, one thing that the VA has been announcing now for a couple weeks for veterans because of this COVID-19 coronavirus is that if they think they have symptoms of that, unless it's progressed that they think they need to go to the emergency room, the VA's guidance to veterans is call their local VA healthcare facility, whether it's the VA hospital or their outpatient clinic, whichever it might be, to call first so that they can talk to one of the medical personnel there and essentially be screened. That's for the veterans' protection, but it's also for the protection of the medical staff and other veterans, so they can kind of triage and screen that particular veteran's situation. That's very important. But as Mike Malone had mentioned as well, the VA's website, va.gov, is a very valuable resource. And we appreciate Julie and Mike being on our show to promote what the Texas Veterans Commission does. Again, their website is TVC for Texas Veterans Commission, tvc.texas.gov. And I'm a fan of all their programs, so please check it out. It's a lot of valuable information there. Now let's turn to some news from the federal VA in Washington, D.C. According to a recent press release, Senator John Tester of Montana is leading more than 30 U.S. senators in introducing a bill they call the Fair Care for Vietnam Veterans Act of 2020, which would require the United States Department of Veteran Affairs to provide benefits for veterans suffering from four diseases associated with exposure to Agent Orange, which are not currently on the Agent Orange presumptive list. Those four are bladder cancer, hyperthyroidism, Parkinsonism, and hypertension. Now, currently, veterans with specific health conditions developed as a result of their exposure to herbicides, including Agent Orange, during the Vietnam War, are eligible for compensation benefits and health care from the VA. However, the VA continues to deny coverage for approximately 190,000 veterans struggling with bladder cancer, hypothyroidism, Parkinsonism, and hypertension. Those are four conditions which veteran groups and many U.S. senators have concluded are scientifically proven to have an association with exposure to the toxic herbicides. Now, this proposed bill, the Fair Care for Vietnam Veterans Act of 2020, would add these illnesses to the VA's list of service-connected presumptive conditions and would provide essential benefits and care to Vietnam veterans. Now, according to Senator Tester, who sits on the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, justice is long overdue for the 190,000 aging veterans who are currently suffering and dying as a result of their exposure to Agent Orange in Vietnam. This bicameral bill is as straightforward as they come. Since VA isn't willing to do its job, Congress is stepping in and requiring them to do it by law. We won't be fighting until this administration does right by thousands of veterans suffering from these illnesses who have already waited far too long for the benefits and care they've earned, unquote. Now, many of the National Veteran Service Organizations have been outspoken critics of the continued delays in justice for Vietnam veterans suffering from these service-connected illnesses, and they continue to be Congress's top ally and strongest advocates in expanding the VA's list of presumptive conditions. According to the VFW, the Veterans of Foreign Wars Commander-in-Chief, William J. Doc Schmidt, and I quote, "Vietnam veterans did our part. After winning every battle they fought while they were in Vietnam, many of them have lost their fight to the horrible death health conditions they received from Agent Orange exposure," unquote. He further continued, quote, "It's unacceptable that the list of conditions presumed to be associated with Agent Orange exposure does not include bladder cancer, Parkinson-like symptoms, hypertension, and other conditions that the scientists have said are connected to military service. The VFW is proud to support the Fair Care for Vietnam Veterans Act of 2020, which would create this wrong," and unquote. And there is similar support from other VSOs, Veteran Service Organizations, like Military Officers Association of America, AMVETS, and American Legion, DAV, and others. And as a side note, in my view, it's interesting how Congress has decided to address this issue by statute rather than continue to allow the Department of Veteran Affairs to handle it administratively just through regulations, because we know that the VA has been, quote-unquote, studying these conditions, these issues, for many, many years and been promising action, and it's never happened. So finally, Congress apparently has lost its patience and has this bill has been offered in Congress, and we'll see where it goes. Again, the bill is called the Fair Care for Vietnam Veterans Act of 2020, and it's been sponsored by Senator Tester and a number of other U.S. senators. So we'll see where that goes. Before turning to other news, let me go over to Richard Hurley. Richard, what are your thoughts on this issue?
Well, let's assume it's going to pass, and it's about time. You know, I mean, we had the Blue Water Navy vet situation, and now we have this. I mean, Congress has slowly, step by step, you know, finally, you know, trying to get our veterans completely compensated the way they should be compensated. And, you know, again, David, you know, we say this every week. It's all about the money. And unfortunately, there'll be a lot of veterans, if this does pass, there'll be a lot of veterans who will have passed away before they had the benefit of the amendment to the Agent Orange statute. So, you gotta say great, but on the other hand, you gotta say it's about time. And let's just hope they get it done. And it's the act of 2020, so let's hope they get it done in 2020 and not screw around. Just, you know, vote it in and let's move on and let's help our vets.
Yeah.
I don't know what you can say. It's disappointing that it's just taken this long.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we're in the second session of this Congress. Every Congress is elected for 2 years. So we've got the November elections, which will be the potential for, you know, a complete changeover. But the point being that we basically have between now, we're getting into late March, and the end of July, because in August, Congress historically goes on a month-long vacation, and then they, you know, to back to their districts. And then when they come back for a short period of time, they're back again for their, back in their districts for the campaigning before the November election. So the point being that there's a relatively short window of time of just a few months for the Congress to act on this issue as well as the other legislation which is before it. But it also reminds me of a pressing issue that we've been talking about on this show, reporting with various guests, which is the issue of toxic contamination by open-air burn pits, which were commonly used in the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, but also some other areas of the world too. And the use of these open-air burn pits in combat zones has caused essentially invisible but very grave health complications for thousands of our veterans. And some of these contaminants that were in there actually have some of the similar dioxin, the destructive compounds found in Agent Orange and other materials that have already been documented by organizations like the EPA and OSHA to be carcinogens and other harmful materials. And it's interesting that there's a lot of legislation proposed, and there have been legislation already passed on these open-air burn pits. Congress has established, you know, a registry so that veterans can report their experiences. But there's been a lot of criticism of the real usefulness of these registries. But nevertheless, the registries are there. But beyond that, what we've seen is really the absence of real action by Congress and the VA to establish these so-called presumptive lists. A presumptive list being a list of diseases and cancers, et cetera, that the VA would presume was due to exposure to these open-air burn pits. There's lots of legislation, but the legislation even that's been proposed, most of it has not been aggressive enough to establish these presumptive lists. So there's a long ways to go.
David,
but go ahead, Richard.
You bring up something really important here, and that is that you know, this is an election year, and you veterans who are listening, you need to tell your other veterans to go out. Number one, you need to go out and vote. But number two, you need to go out and talk to your representatives and ask them, you know, are you familiar with the Fair Care for Vietnam Veterans Act of 2020? And if they look at you, you know, boggled-eyed, you know, obviously they have no idea what you're talking about. And you can educate them and say, look, you get back to D.C. and do your research, do your homework on the Fair Care for Vietnam Veterans Act of 2020 and vote for it. You know, tell them you're a Vietnam vet. You suffer, I'm sure you're going to, you suffer from some of the many presumptive diseases such as ischemic heart disease, prostate cancer. What they're proposing in this thing is just following up to basically finally box everything in the way it should be and pretty much cover completely you vets for so many of these diseases that you get as a result of Agent Orange. But you have to make your representatives accountable. I say this over and over and over every week. You have to make them accountable and tell them, if you don't step up and do what you're supposed to be doing, I'm not voting for you. I'm going to vote for the other guy, no matter who it is, Republican, Democrat, Independent. I don't give a damn. I'm going to vote for the other guy because maybe he'll go to D.C. and he'll do something about us Vietnam vets once and for all. Because, you know, you vets don't want to, you know, like so many of your brothers and sisters have passed away and not gotten full benefit of your service to this country. You don't want to be like one of them. So get out there, talk to your representatives, get them to do what they're supposed to be doing so that you will fully benefit by your service to our country in Vietnam before you die. Back to you, David.
Yeah, thanks. And as I said, in addition to this proposed legislation, you know, which is specifically for, you know, Vietnam veterans and adding four more diseases to the Agent Orange presumptive list, there also is that pending issue, which is the open-air burn pits, because you have the veterans that had served in Iraq and Afghanistan. Again, those wars, and, you know, I've gone back to the year 2001, the fall of 2001 is when we invaded Afghanistan, and then March of 2003, Iraq. And those open-air burn pits were massive. They were sometimes the size of multiple football fields together. They would burn 24 hours a day. They would burn every conceivable substance and waste, hazardous material. And the military used jet fuel, basically, to get these fires going and to propel these fires, again, 24 hours a day, and creating just massive plumes of smoke and ash, which would contaminate those in a large vicinity around them. So you have these veterans that have come back from Iraq and Afghanistan with all sorts of pulmonary diseases and somewhat rare cancers. And by comparison, you know, we've seen other toxic substance issues, from the Agent Orange in Vietnam to the Camp Lejeune contaminated drinking water issue, where the wells were contaminated from the early 50s to the late 80s. And by way of comparison, it is very interesting how, you know, it took decades for the Congress and the VA to finally recognize the Agent Orange effects for Vietnam veterans. But then the Congress gave a lot of power to the VA as the administrative agency to do the studies, to outsource the studies, and then develop regulations for these Agent Orange presumptive diseases. So the VA had a lot of power there, and that's why we've seen this delay when there's been a push to add these four new diseases. Now, by comparison with the Camp Lejeune toxic water issue, we saw two different approaches. We saw Congress in 2012 pass a statute after hearings that created a list of diseases, recognized a list of diseases that were linked to exposure to this contaminated drinking water, and said basically that if you lived at Camp Lejeune during this time frame, 53 to 87, and you develop one of these diseases or cancers, you would be entitled to VA health care or VA compensated health care. Congress did that by statute, but what Congress did as far as disability compensation, which is a separate issue, they gave it over to the VA to handle that administratively, and it took a number of years for the VA to continue to study it, and they came up with a much shorter list of only eight diseases they said they would presume were the result of exposure to this contaminated drinking water. So we've seen the approach of statutes just outright and very directly creating these presumptive lists, and we've seen the approach where Congress has basically kicked the can over to the VA and said, VA, you study these issues and you come up with the list, you know, within your power as a regulatory agency. Well, what we see with the VA is everything takes forever. One of my clients once said that, you know, the VA has two speeds, slow and slower, and that seems to be true on practically everything. So the point being, Congress has the power, as we see with this proposed legislation, the Fair Care for Vietnam Veterans Act of 2020. You know, again, I would note that there's basically a window of 4 months between now and late July for the committees, both House and Senate, to act on this legislation and hopefully pass it, go to the full House and Senate, and then over to the President. We'll see what happens, and on this show we'll continue to track that and other legislation. But it's a big issue. And for those interested in learning more about the open air burn pits, if you've never heard of that, I would encourage you to watch a documentary film called Delay, Deny, Hope You Die, How America Poisoned Its Soldiers. That was the director and producer of that film was Greg Lovett, and he was a guest on our show back in 2017. You can find out more about that documentary. Go to Facebook, and in the Facebook search engine, type in Burn Pit Documentary, and that will then bring up the Facebook page for that documentary film. You can purchase a DVD of the film, and if you are involved with a veterans group or any sort of veteran organization and you want to host a screening of this film, now maybe with all this coronavirus, a large gathering may not be possible for a while, but jot this down, and when this coronavirus stuff has passed us all, it might be something you want to get involved in your veterans group, which is to host a showing. We did that in Florida. We had a couple theaters in the Tampa area, Tampa Brandon area, which is the Tampa Bay area, host this back in 2017. And there's a very interesting organization that will basically help you host a public screening of the film, and that's the website TUGG.com, T-U-G-G. That's T-U-G-G with two G's, .com. Go to that website, look under the Films tab on the website for the film, Delay, Deny, Hope You Die. That's the name of the film. And you can find out how you can go about hosting a public screening. It's basically a crowdfunding situation. So if you're able to sell enough tickets, then they will, TUGG.com, will work with your local movie theater, like an AMC theater, whatever might be in your area, and you can have a public screening. And it might be a good event for your veterans organization. If you're, let's say, have an AMVETS or an American Legion or VFW post, and you want to publicize this issue, and you can use it in conjunction with a fundraiser for your organization or publicize this issue, that's a great thing. So, again, the film is Delay, Deny, Hope You Die, How America Poisoned Its Soldiers by film director and producer Greg Love it. Now, before we get to the closing of our show, let me turn things back over to Richard Hurley. Richard, any things you'd like to discuss tonight or insights you want to share from all you have going on?
Well, I've just, I was listening to what Mike Malone said. You know, he is right. I mean, everything's being postponed. A lot of the hearings are being postponed, but for any veteran out there who has an attorney who's willing to use the Skype method from his law office, the BVA, I know the BVA for sure, is willing to continue those hearings. Like I have three in April. They're not going to put them off if the veteran wants to come to the office and the lawyer has the access to be able to do the Skype. So your hearing would not be postponed. So, you know, you just keep that in mind, and you may want to just, you know, pick up the phone and call your lawyer and ask him if, in fact, he can do that on his system. If not, then they will be postponed. I think the biggest problem that you're going to run into, and it's the problem I ran into, and I have some pretty good connections at the BVA, and that is to get confirmation that, in fact, your hearing is postponed. I mean, you know, David, you and I like to dot our I's and cross our T's, and I never assume that something's going to be postponed until I actually get confirmation from the BVA by email or by phone with a follow-up letter that, in fact, it is postponed. So that can kind of drive you nuts because, you know, the BVA just, you know, just like the VA, they're poor communicators, and, you know, they got their head in the sand when it comes to this stuff, and I'm not sure why. But so, you know, you got to stay on top of this. You can't just assume that it's going to be postponed. Again, if you've got a lawyer who can access Skype and do it by video, then do it. But, you know, these are troubled times right now. And so you need to be on top of your game because, unfortunately, I'm not seeing a lot of cooperation coming out of the VA or the VA when it comes to these claims. And you don't want to get caught with your pants down. I just had an exchange with a DRO, decision review officer, over a case. And we're going to provide additional medical evidence. And the DRO sent me an email today and said, look, I'm just going to issue a statement of the case because you haven't sent it yet. Well, first of all, I said, we talked about 30 days. It's only been 7 days. So I still have 21 more days. But, you know, the doctor that my client needs to go to isn't seeing anybody face-to-face right now. My client doesn't really want to drive to the doctor's office. So I asked the DRO, I said, give us some time here. And he said, why don't you I'll just issue the statement of the case and you can take it up with the BVA. He said, no, I don't want to do it that way. I want you to make a decision on the claim. We'll go from there. But, you know, I was really ticked off when I go off the email with him because clearly, you know, again, he has his head in the sand. He just wants to move his case and he's not concerned with doing the right thing for the veteran. So these are troubled times, and unfortunately, you're not going to get as much cooperation from the VA and the BVA as you like. So anyway, that's my frustration. Back to you, David.
Yep. Well, it is a difficult time, but as we used to say in the Air Force, it's an opportunity to excel. That's what problems are. They're just an opportunity to put our best foot forward and work together, teamwork, and persevere. We know things will not always go smoothly. We can't expect perfection. We only get frustrated if we do. So we do our best and we keep moving forward every single day. That's what it's all about. Now, these are tough times, but there are a lot of information out there and a lot of excellent veteran organizations. And I was really pleased that we were able to have Julia Connor and Mike Malone from the Texas Veterans Commission. And I really do encourage our listeners, check out their website, tvc.texas.gov. That's tvc.texas.gov, because they have a lot of resources. And if you happen to be working in a different state, you can still, particularly if you work in a state counterpart, we've had guests from other state-level departments of VA on our show in the past several years, and each has their own set of programs, but I think the Texas Veterans Commission is most impressive with the scope of their programs, and it's a reflection of, you know, Texas is a large state and the second largest population of veterans there. So use that as an example. Now, as we do in every week, we have news and a reminder to veterans and their families about a very important program called Coaching Into Care, which is probably as important now as ever. Richard, if you want to tell us about that.
Yes, the Coaching Into Care program. It helps veterans having difficulty transitioning to home life. Returning home can be a tough adjustment, and loved ones can help. Coaching Into Care offers free coaching to help you help your veteran. Give the program a call at 1-888-823-7458. Its hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That number again is 1-888-823-7458. You know, the goal when veterans come home is to try to give them an independent life back into civilization, back to civil life, and away from the military. And the Coaching Into Care program would provide that for the veteran, and it helps the family to help the veteran. That's what's kind of unique about that program. I'd also like to once again remind veterans that if you know a veteran who is suicidal or in a crisis of any kind, the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs also has a Veterans Crisis Line to help. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Many veterans have committed suicide because they did not get the help they needed. Help them get the care they need to cope with their problems. Once again, the Veterans Crisis Line can help. 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. On a footnote on that, I can tell you that over the last 2 weeks, and it's really associated with the coronavirus, I've been getting a lot of phone calls from my veterans. And a lot of them are, you know, it's not even relating to their compensation claims. It's just, you can tell that there's a lot of anxiety and a lot going on, and they're nervous, like so many people in this country are. So, you know, that hotline, that crisis line, is a great number for you veterans to call. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255, and press 1. Back to you, David.
Thanks. And for our listeners who may have missed our shows for the last several weeks, I want to remind you that all our shows are archived podcasts that you can go back and listen to on our website. And our show's website is bvsradio.com/the Veterans News Hour. And if you go back and listen to the last several weeks, you can see our focus was to track what major veteran organizations, the largest ones in the country, but some of the smaller ones as well, it was their time to make their legislative presentations to the Senate and the House Veterans Committees. It's a really big deal for these veteran groups as well as for the committees in Congress. So go back and listen to the last several weeks of our podcast. And for more information, and you can find out, you know, let's say you're a member of the American Legion or the VFW or AMVETS or DAV, and you want to find out what your national headquarters of your group has proposed to Congress, you can find that out, because these organizations have put a lot of thought and time and resources in developing these proposals that they offer to Congress for how programs can be improved, laws that need to be enacted or laws that need to be improved in some way. Go to these two websites, veterans.senate.gov and veterans.house.gov, veterans.senate.gov and veterans.house.gov. Those are the websites for the House and Senate Veteran Affairs Committee, and you will see, you will be able to find, if you look under the hearings tab, going back to February 25th and all the way through March 11th, they have the detailed legislative presentations, and you can also watch the videos if you're interested, of the veteran groups like the DAV, Wounded Warrior Project, Vietnam Veterans of America, AMVETS, the American Legion, Gold Star Wives, Military Officers Association of America, the Fleet Reserve Association, etc. So very impressive, and again, you can listen to our archive podcast where we've highlighted those in the last a few weeks. We hope you've enjoyed tonight's show. Again, thanks to our guests, Julia Connor and Mike Malone, the Texas Veterans Commission. We'd like to thank you all for listening to the Veterans News Hour here on BBS Radio Station 1. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Joyce and Joe Chivaroli and Corey and Hurley Law Group. I'd also like to thank our producer at BBS Radio, Mr. Doug Newsom. And we hope you'll tune in next week at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Mountain, and 4 p.m. Pacific Time here on bbsradio.com, Station 1, for another edition of the Veterans News Hour. Until then, we hope you have a great week and stay healthy.
Thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley. We hope you found this week's program very informative. Be sure to invite your friends and all the veterans you know to tune in next week when we'll have another great show on veterans issues. Meanwhile, you can listen to our other recorded episodes on the Veterans News Hour webpage on bbsradio.com. Thanks again for listening to the Veterans News Hour.